out-of-body experiences. Accounts of these experiences talk about how completely alien they can be. They speak about their observations with an almost clinical gaze toward the entire event. There are even those who seek those moments out, hoping to find something approaching some strange kind of enlightenment, feeling as though their body is locking them off from some cosmic truth. They are searchers, trying to discover whatever particular voice or experience is calling to them. I am calling from Elm Lake. I feel disconnected, like I've been sent off to swim in a large body of water, and while I was swimming out, the piers, beaches, and even nearby coastlines were all packed up, moved away, leaving me adrift. It would be easy to consider this as some sort of out-of-body experience, except for the realization that I am not out of my body at all. Far from it. It's just that my body is now completely foreign to me. A plastic shell with painted-on features, fully posable with barely articulated joints. I'm looking out at my surroundings through hastily crafted glass eyes. Those last thoughts send a shudder through me, or they would if my body would respond to such stimuli. I winced to the glass eye. I was drawn there, truth be told. While on those unhallowed grounds, it's obvious that something terrible has been taking place. I initially thought that somehow Marissa and Samantha had perfected some sort of spiritual transference. However, my flight from the glass eye showed me clearly that there is no transference happening. There was no body left behind for my faculties to have transferred from. And whatever is happening, it's far from spiritual. I suppose I should describe the departure from the glass eye and how I found myself in my current confines. My doll, the thing I had craved so much, despite there being no reason to crave it, was prepared to dismember me, tear me apart, rip what was left of my soul from whatever had been done to my body. I could sense its thoughts. I could feel its hunger. It raised its carved metallic blade, one that looks exactly like an accessory sold with dolls the world over. And it smiled, its cheeks cracking, the plastic of its face forming into a visage that was never meant to be formed. As I've said before, I closed my eyes, waiting for the release that was bound to come. And as I've said before, it never came. I am not a religious person. I don't find myself praying or thanking any sort of deity for actions that have happened in my life. Truth be told, Elm Lake itself almost feels like we reject such thoughts and words. But if I was the type of person to offer prayers of thanks, I would be giving them. Not to an omniscient entity. No. I would be giving them to Amelia Ashford. Somehow, beyond all reason, she found her way to the Glass Eye at the exact right time to help me. Her arrival caused my doll to freeze in its tracks, putting forth a semblance of simply being an inanimate creation. Again, somehow Amelia did not fall victim to the machinations of the doll. She has a deeper well of fortitude than I was aware of. Can't even begin to fathom how she would have gained that. I've always just thought of her as a quiet person, hanging her laundry, sipping tea. But this moment showed me that she has lived through terrors. It also showed me that she is unwilling to let those terrors win without a challenge. Yes, Amelia saved me. I don't know how she was able to recognize me in whatever this new form is, but she saved me. She scooped me into her arms, called me a fool, and started running from the Glass Eye. I don't know where she's taking me. I don't recognize the streets of Elm Lake any longer. I don't know if it's my perspective through these facsimiles of eyes or if the town itself has been altered. Either way, the path we currently follow is foreign to me, and I put my trust in Amelia, letting my mind wander. Suddenly, a thought that is definitely not mine crosses my consciousness. Is the image of a basket. A basket that I know I should be able to recognize. There's an odd comfort to it, which only strengthens when I realize the basket and the thought belongs to Jenny Fowler.
What he was doing, or why he decided to head to the Glass Eye. It would have been better if he'd just gone back to his precious studio. At least there, he would have been in familiar surroundings, potentially even safe ones, if he weren't too foolish to take the necessary steps to ensure his own safety. But no, Anthony had to return to where everything had been turning sour in Elm Lake, the place I tried so desperately to eradicate through technology I don't understand. It was worth the risk, I keep trying to tell myself, even if it didn't work. And now, the dolls are a bigger threat than they've ever been. Which means that Samantha and Marissa are bigger threats than we realized. I don't know how they're doing it. I would love to ask them, but they aren't anywhere to be found. Reshaping citizens of our town into dolls for others to play with seems like foul, impossible fiction, but how else can you describe what has been happening to Jenny, George, Anthony, countless others? Marcus was saying that he had access to many of the citizens in his own collection, but it was the words of a collector, not anyone malicious. What is the endgame? How close are we to being placed into checkmate by these two women and their dolls? Time feels like it's drawing short, and we need to gather what friends we can as quickly as possible. That fact makes Anthony's foolish journey to the Glass Eye that much more galling. I wish he could have seen the danger that we're all in as clearly as I seem to, but maybe that part of him isn't around this time. Or maybe it never existed, and he's always been relatively unaware of how dire his circumstances are. As frustrated as I am with Anthony, I feel nothing but sympathy for Jenny. It would be easy to equate what happened to them, even casting them with the same light, but I can't shake the realization that Anthony went in search of trouble, while Jenny was simply a victim of her own curiosity, bringing her to the wrong place at the wrong time. Instead of her choosing to venture to the Glass Eye, it somehow beckoned her. Called to her from across our sleepy town. It also took her basket from her, depriving her of her safety. I've been able to figure out that some of us have certain touch points that work to keep us safe from whatever the Glass Eye is trying to do, and for Jenny, it's her basket. I was actually coming to the Glass Eye to try and recover it for her to see if I could reunite them and maybe return her to normal. Unfortunately, no basket. Fortunately for Anthony, I seem to have arrived just in time to save him from something even worse than what he's experienced. The doll positioned opposite him had a sharpened blade in its hand, or at least it appeared to. As I entered, I thought I saw it moving under its own power and then freeze. It thought it could fool me into thinking it isn't animate, but they all are. Every last doll has come out with that terrible place can move, and they clearly have an agenda. I scooped Anthony up and left. The night yawned before me, but I knew my destination. I couldn't take the most direct path because I don't know if I'm being followed. Even if I'm not, I need to make sure that my trail is somewhat obscured. They haven't found it yet, and I'm damned if I'm the one that will lead them there. What's left of Elm Lake depends on its standing, potentially as a last bastion. After taking numerous twists and turns, and feeling the doll form of Anthony trying to shift in my arms, I finally brought us back to the closest thing there is to comfort any longer. A place that was once, for me, a place of dread. Carrying Anthony, I stepped into the Owl's Nest Diner.
I recognize this place. I don't know how or why, because everything in my brain feels like it's been shrouded in a fog. But I know that this place is safe. I would relax if I could. I at least try to stop my thoughts from racing, obscured as they are. They keep tripping and butting up against ideas and notions that aren't my own. Amelia sets me down on some sort of shelf. No, not a shelf. Counter. It's a counter. That thought filters through my mind, connected to a male presence. I try to shift my head, and it turns slightly. My dull glass eyes falling on the doll form of an older man, wearing an apron, and carrying the bearing of a proprietor. The name George filters through my mind. I'm hit with despair. George, connected to Lorraine, co-owner of the diner, trapped in the form of a doll. I have more sorrow for George than I do for myself. I've clearly poked and prodded at forces I was never meant to, and have been delivered into this sort of prison. George never has. His business has always been his own and never anyone else's. And based off the craftsmanship, George has been stuck in this form for quite some time. Perhaps since the Glass Eye originally opened. What is being planned? What will happen to Elm Lake? If we are all transformed into dolls, are we then disposed of? Or is our will bent to serve whatever purpose they have for us? And what about the other dolls already in existence? Are they the residents of some other town, already having fallen victim to Samantha and Marissa's schemes? These thoughts and so many more continue to race through my mind until one clarion call rings out again. The image of the basket. Jenny's basket. It's somewhere near, and it's been waiting for Jenny to be reunited with it. I carefully turn my gaze the other way and see a doll resembling Jenny Fowler. There appear to be tears swelling up in her own glass eyes. And it's clear that she was waiting for my return. Not like this. Calling from Elm Lake, episode 46, Seeking Safety, was written and produced by Sean Monahan. The voice of Elm Lake is Sean Monahan. The voice of Amelia Ashford is Maddie Stewart. Opening and closing themes written and performed by Sean Monahan. All other music written and performed by Matt McInnes. Find out more at machinismusic.com. Thank you for listening to our ongoing tale. If you've enjoyed our story so far, please leave a rating and review. Word of mouth will help us continue to grow and unfold new tales within our universe. You can also join us at www.patreon.com/callingfromelmlake to help support us as independent artists carving out our own space in this creative world. There are moments in our life when we are bound to feel trapped, constrained by the realities that persist around us. We struggle and push against those bounds, hoping for the smallest opening, one that we can push and pull at in order to create a wide opening to walk through. While we may often feel as though the bindings put upon us are created by outside forces, they are far more often created by our own minds. Changing our perspective allows us to find the freedom that already existed, but we were unable to see originally. It also gives us room to breathe and help create gaps for others to break their own bonds.